Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio with your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower.
Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio. This is Tower and I'm here with the Watchman and we are glad you joined us. Please send all your prayer requests and correspondence to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. You can find Warn Radio on USA.life, MeWe, Parler, CloudHub, Tumblr, Pure Social, Spreely, and Linktree. You can listen to our shows on warn-usa.com, and you can find the shows in our posts for listening and downloading. You can also find our websites via the Spreaker app on both warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. Warn Radio is also on the following website streamers: Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes Player, Apple Podcast, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play Music, Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Addict, CastBox, Google Podcast, Anchor, Deezer, and Podchaser. Be sure to give us a thumbs up and leave a good comment on the shows where you heard us. And do not miss these posts on warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. We're featuring four this week: Goodness of the Lord in the Land of the Living. Goodness of the Lord, mercy, goodness, courage, and faith in the land of the living. And you know, that's a great phrase. Goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We also have Prophetic End Time Shaking and Division. Prophetic end time is revealed by the continual shaking of nations, dividing of people, and tearing down of principalities. Also, discern signs amidst the times. Discern times. The signs are evident, allowing us to discern the times in which we live. When dealing with signs, wonders, and prophecy, and plain good sage teachings from the apostles, one must pay attention. And last but not least, the apocalypse waits for no one. The apocalypse waits, or does it? While the world marches on in all its faint-hearted glory, the apocalypse will wait for none of them. Be sure to go to Warn-USA for the latest post, Christian Persecution Today, the Gospel News on Classic Warn Radio. Christian persecution of Christian believers is never far away. Despite this persecution, we find the miraculous occurring, and today we have the stories of the Lord moving in the lives of believers and unbelievers. And on Dana Glenn Smith, Steal the Darkness, Conspiracy Behind the Conspiracies. Steal the Darkness is the ground floor of a secretive move to destroy America. Published in 2017, it details this event. Book 2, The Rising, takes this further and is due out in late 2021. Be sure to go to danaglennsmith.com where you can sign up for the WIBR Warn Radio newsletter, and also visit our Christian books and resource shop on the site where we feature Christian books and other resources from our Vision Media. And now I welcome in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad to be here for Isaiah's Comfort My People, Isaiah's prophetic book.
You know, it is a good thing you said that.
Why?
Because I was looking at our Hebrews thing. For some reason, I was thinking this was Hebrews, but I do...
No, this is Isaiah tonight.
Yeah, I'm doing... In the morning, I'll do this other one.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at a few things here.
So, you know, this is probably a great one to have because, although I'm not sure what it's all about, but Comfort My People is... We need comfort in this day and age and whatever, all the horrible things that are going on. You know?
And we left off in Isaiah 39. And, you know, I mean, this... I'll get into it and we'll talk about it. But when you're talking about comfort... A lot of Americans have a tendency to take certain phrases a little bit the wrong way. There are comfort scriptures, and in this case, concerning Judah, when they are taken captive and going to Babylon, there is a comfort portion that goes along with the prophecy to tell them that God will do certain things. You know, we're not keen on judgment. As long as it happens to somebody else. So at any rate, we'll get into this. Meanwhile, we send our condolences to all the servicemen who lost their lives.
Their families.
Yeah, the families over in Afghanistan.
This is just such a tragedy. It's horrible. My heart goes out to these families. This should not have ever happened, Dana.
Well, it shouldn't have. But the problem of it is, it's a soft target. The soldiers have to greet everybody milling around. The person that did this was a suicide bomber. And they also set several other bombs off as well. So the whole thing was a mess. I mean, from what I gathered, from what was there. But, you know, in Vietnam, mamas with babies would come and blow themselves up to kill American soldiers.
Yeah, they would. I heard stories of them putting the babies in the soldiers' arms, and then a bomb would go off, killing the baby. That's just unconscionable.
World War II, our ships faced kamikaze Japanese pilots. And in the islands, you had kamikaze charges by the Japanese military. And when you had a kamikaze attack, these people were crazed. They wouldn't stop till you killed them. And so ISIS and a lot of other radical Islamists have developed that war type. And in fighting war, like Patton said, the idea is to kill the other guy. And if the other guy is already willing to die, see, Patton's idea, you kill the other guy and keep your people alive. But in the scenario of the Japanese and the scenario of a number of others, they don't do that. They're willing to kill themselves and kill anybody else they can. And so when people are willing to sacrifice their very life, there's really no defense. What are you going to do, kill them? Well, you'd have to kill them before they get close. But this is what they're coming to do anyway. They're coming to kill themselves and kill as many others as they can. And this follows exactly what the Lord said. There's coming a day when those that kill you would think they're doing God a service, and that's exactly what they're doing. The Japanese thought they were doing Emperor
Hirohito.
Yeah, a favor. So this is not fun. It's not pleasant. And the Biden administration and all the people that he got up there, they have no experience at this. The generals, good grief. I don't know where in the world they got them from, but, you know, I mean, the whole thing is just a one-act play in the foolish, nonsensical.
That's a fact.
You know, Psaki and the Democrats couldn't even send out a heartfelt, sincere
condolence.
Yeah, to any of them. I never heard it once. It wasn't on anywhere that I could. But Trump went out, posted one thing, and the first two words is, Melania and I send our condolences to the families. I mean, a leader leads. Politicians are a dime a dozen. But a leader leads. And Joe Biden is not a leader. And the rest of the people that he put in there can't lead themselves out of a paper box. I mean, and that's just the way it is. I mean, we've got an issue in America, and it is called sin. We refuse to deal with it. We're too proud to deal with it. We've got lifestyles that are an abomination. We've got people willing to cheat on an election in order to win, which they did. And then you got people, once they got in there, undo everything that Trump had and decided that they would welcome the world in through the back door. And you have people today fundamentally that that's what they want to do. And there's not another nation on earth that believes that's a good policy. Nobody. So, that's the way it is when you live in America, because we're under judgment. The world is really under judgment, too. But, at any rate, we're going to get into this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Now, Isaiah 39:7, we're going to get up to 40. And here, Isaiah is telling some bad news to Hezekiah. Envoys from Babylon, and we talked about this last time, wanted to approach Hezekiah under the guise of congratulating him for defeating the Assyrians and him getting well. And Hezekiah showed him everything he had. Bad mistake. But it led into what God was going to do anyway. Because as I've said all the way through this, is that God allowed this with Assyria as an object lesson and something to teach them. And of course they had Hezekiah there, which is a good king, and he actually initiated reforms. He had been a king for a long time, and of course he recovers from an illness now, and he has showed him everything. And Isaiah has already covered that part. Basically it comes down to a prophecy about Babylon taking everything of Judah's captive. Now, you see, the northern tribes already been taken. They were taken by Sargon of Assyria. And that's why Sennacherib, his son, who was of Assyria, thought that he could take down Judah. Because they had heard, more than likely, a prophecy that Isaiah had given about using Assyria as judgment. Well, to make a long story short, God delivered them, and it's a lesson here. Do not forget this lesson. Because I delivered you, you need to be faithful, you need to do what, you need to keep the covenant, you need to walk in my ways, you need to be my people. But unfortunately, they forgot. And by the time you get down the road, quite a ways, Babylon is going to come in to Judah, and they're going to take everything. And that is the captivity of Judah for 70 years in Babylon. And so it's not a good thing. But see, God looks through time. And if you think, you know, we have a lot of people that do talk about time travel. But see, time is within God. Everything is encompassed within him. He don't need to travel to another dimension. He doesn't need to travel to a year, you know, 1,000 years in the future to know what's going on. See, while we as humans live and die and go through thousands of years and centuries, God exists outside of that, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can look into the future, and he knows exactly what's going to happen. And so in verse 7 it says here, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, and this would be in the future, as I said before, more than 100 years, they would be remote descendants of Hezekiah by this time, which you shall beget. And I guess the one good point in there, he's going to have a lot of descendants. But the bad point of it is, everybody falls away from the Lord. That ain't a good thing. And see, that is an issue, even in Christianity. You're always one generation away, you know, from falling away from the faith. You know, every new generation, you got to bring up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's really what's happened in America. We've had a lot of generations now today that are virtually pagans, or they're Satanists, avowed Satanists, or they're more like a deist. And so the specific Savior in Yeshua, they don't even look at. So they're in trouble. So more than 100 years in the future, remote descendants of Hezekiah, which you shall beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And of course we know of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel. Now there were more there than just those four. But scripture specifically points out these. And if I was to hazard any kind of an understanding of it, you know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego stood out because they knew in who they believed. And they knew that they couldn't do what the king wanted them to. They weren't going to kneel at some idol. They were only going to kneel to the Lord God. So they threw them in the fire pit. You know the story. They came out without the smell of smoke on them. They were totally fine. And the Son of God appeared in there with him. And Daniel, he was in the lion's den. He suffered a lot of trials. He came through all of it. He had some of the finest prophecies we have. Actually came through the period of this time when Judah was in. It was written and given at that time. So Daniel stands as a premier giver of, a receiver, I guess you would say, receiver of the prophecy, and then he wrote it down. And so they shall be eunuchs. Now, when I think of eunuchs, I think of men that have been neutered, so to speak. But the Targum, when they speak of this word, speak of those who should be nurtured or become great in the kingdom of Babylon. And see, there is no doubt here that we find that in the judgment on Judah, that God actually gave him favor with the Babylonians, to the respect that, like Daniel, rose to an office of trust and power. And you can see that in Daniel 1, 2 through 7. And of course, the king of Babylon also would have liked, you know, at the time, to have attendance in his court, or even over the harem, the descendants of the once monarchy of the Jews. You know, they would want that. But see, there were more than just these three there. So this is where they're going to wind up. And of course, Hezekiah, of course, in the Word of God, it doesn't say he hesitated. They don't give you that. But he said, Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken." He said, "Moreover, for there shall be peace and truth in my days." And, you know, that is a thought. You know, while I'm alive, there's going to be peace and truth. And, you know, as you grow older, that's really, you know, you're going to pass away. You want it to be peaceful, and the Word of God doing good, and your kids that you have now, they're doing good. You can't do nothing about 100 years in the future. You just got to deal with now. But for now, you can relax. You can take it easy. You know what's coming. But, you know, that's the way it is. And, of course, he had dealt with Isaiah anyway. So it's not like he doesn't know a prophet that gave the Word of God that comes true all the time. And you find some of the commentators, when they're talking about this, they will mention a word, acquiesce, or I agree and give in to it. And when you look at this, they make notes that he saw that it was just. And it would also represent the fact that he felt that he had sinned and made an improper display of his treasures and deserved to be punished. And he felt that maybe his sentence was mild and merciful. It could have been even worse. And it was merciful to his kingdom and to those with him. So the people around him wouldn't notice much. And so, through it all, his own reign and life were still full of the mercy of God. He went through trials, just like others did. But this makes way for Babylon, officially. But in the midst of these prophecies, now we will get into more Babylon a little later. But we have a lot of messianic prophecies to cover, among other things. And it's interesting to note, in chapter 40, we find the Lord God of Israel, and we also find the Messiah. And we find full and complete deliverance for Israel at that time. And that's a future deliverance at the hand of the Messiah. So we see here that although they're going into trouble, God is going to get them out after the sentence because of what they've done. And they haven't sinned yet. God is telling them they're going to sin. I mean, how do you like that? You know, he looks 100 years in the future, and, you know, he knows what they're going to do. Well, the scripture does record what they do. And then, of course, the whole time, during a portion of that, Jeremiah was a prophet task, and he wasn't the only prophet around at that time, but he was the main prophet task to talk to Judah And, of course, he knew that he wasn't going to get anywhere with them. And they were doing evil things, wicked things. That was an abomination to the Lord. They were going to go into captivity for 70 years, which I look at 70 as a generation. Some people will see 40 years as a generation, but I see 70 years as a generation, simply because the scripture's saying 70 and 10. But nevertheless, you look at this and you see the fact that they're going to be in there for 70 years. And Jeremiah is the one that picked up on this from the word of the Lord, which he read, you know, in captivity. Of course, he would have been in a good place to read this because he was working, you know, in the court of the king. He was around the king and royalty a lot. He knew the procedures. And he was also used for interpretations and a man of wisdom. So he would have been able to have the Torah. He would have been able to have all of his own Torah roll and be able to read it all the time because of his position. So that's a good thing. And that's that kind of mercy and that kind of provision is purposeful, because it will be Daniel that will recognize a lot of things about this captivity, that it's over, that Jeremiah said so, and he counted the days, or the years rather. And so in the first verse, let me give you this first, because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about this. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Now remember, this is coming on the heels of a victory. Now, we're not sure. I don't have the time frame of when Isaiah 40 was produced. But needless to say, we've got something here that says comfort. Why do you need comfort? Because something's going to happen. Something that is not going to be fun. Something where you're going to be afflicted, or something happens and you need to be comforted. And as humans, we don't like to be uncomfortable. So the first question is, maybe I need to turn this vehicle around and go somewhere else. This is a bad road. I don't want to be on here. I'm going down this road, and suddenly the prophet's telling me, comfort ye my people. And of course, and this applies to this chapter and to some following. It has to do with what is going to happen to Israel. And of course, it comes out of nowhere. I mean, we were dealing with Isaiah, and we were dealing with Hezekiah. We were dealing with Assyria. And then we dealt with Babylon. Now all of a sudden we're here in the middle of comfort ye, comfort me. You know, I mean, it's like you take another road, totally taking you another way. Now you're in comfort, you know, I mean. And so that's what this is about. This introduces you to why they're going to need comfort. Well, what the Lord is going to do. Because in the midst of this, there is deliverance. It's just like when we look at the second coming of Christ. You know, before you get to the second coming of Christ, there's the great tribulation. And there's some bad things that happen, like the wrath of God. And you also have the judgment of the blood that happens, where God forces the people on earth to drink the blood. The waters become bitter. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. And then, of course, there's the 1,000 years millennial reign of Christ. So you've got a lot of issues here when you talk about a lot of these things. And of course, the scene takes, you know, encompasses Babylon at the close of the captivity. And this is the time when an older Daniel, having already realized how close they were, and having gone through a lot of stuff, survived it all. I think if anything speaks to us today, it's the lives of Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, and Daniel. Now, although you're not Jews, and although you're not keeping the law, if you're Christian believers living in the end times, we have a lot of tribulation, a lot of troubles. We got things going on all the time. And the thing that got the Jews through, these four Jewish men, and they would have had other friends, so there's a lot of other Jews there, and they would have also told them what was coming. And so it's not like it was just four people in Babylon. No, there was a lot of Jews in Babylon. A lot of them were taken there. And so, you know, they continued to live their lives. They continued to worship the Lord. They continued to eat. They even got the food to where they could eat what they wanted to, things that weren't sacrificed to idols. And so they were pretty much able to just live, you know, their lives and also serve the king. And it worked out till the enemies got involved. But see, this is for us today. What does it tell us? It tells us to live our Christian faith, to keep to that Christian faith, to be faithful to that, and to work with those around us and just trust God and keep moving on. Because, you know, there's going to be times when an enemy will show up. And what did Daniel and them do then? I mean, it's just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They says, sorry, O king. You know, we can't do that. I paraphrase, but that's what they said. We can't do that. The king was mad. You know, he's a king. You don't disobey the king. Well, I'm not going to bow down. We can't do that. We're Jews. We've done this all our life. We've gotten used to it. We know this, God. We're not going to do it, period. Do with us what you want to. That's it. Boom. End of story. Now, if you're a Christian living today and suddenly the Antichrist or the Taliban or somebody comes along tomorrow and want to cut off your head if you don't become a Muslim, what are you going to do? See, this is the issue for the Christian today. Because the devil is out to get Christians to deny their faith any way he can. Making you rich and forgetting God. Making you caught up in some kind of a physical, sexual, or an immoral or something that'll take you away from God. Or have you confronted with a jihadist who's wanting to cut your head off if you don't become. See, this is the way the devil works. So you, in the end of days, you've got to think about these things. You've got to think, where's my life? What am I going to do? I'm just going to, you got to live your life. You got to be prepared. But, you know, this is where Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego and Daniel come in at. Not as great superhuman faith machines, but as just individuals who were at the proper place assigned by God, facing tremendous trial, and they had to make a decision. If they would have bowed down, they would have lost their favor with God, and thus get worse trouble by bowing down. If Daniel hadn't have stood against him, Daniel would have lost his anointing as a prophet in the wrath of God. But see, Daniel was delivered in the lion den. The lion was there. So when you're facing death, when you're facing deliverance, remember that the enemy is going to be there. Whatever it is will be there. But you've got to understand that God is able. You know, Jeremiah talks about this. The Lord answers him. He says, I am the Lord. Is there anything too hard for me? Well, the answer is no. But see, the real answer is for you to believe that. That's the answer. It's not a yes or no. It's I'm going to believe. And God will know you said yes by your belief and faith in your heart, because he reads the heart. Is there anything too hard for me? People say, oh yeah, God can do anything. Yet they go out there and they don't have faith. You got to have faith. Faith requires work. So this comforting is coming in. And of course, by the time it gets to the people that are doing wrong, they don't even pay attention to this. They're not going to pay attention to it. Are you kidding me? Even the ones that read it in the beginning, you know, Nobody's really going to pay attention to this. Because you're 100 years in the future. Now, Hezekiah would have known that because he was told. But does anybody know that? Hezekiah would have known it was a long time because he told them. But how many others would know, and how many would dwell on it? Not many. Not this. That's human nature. We don't dwell on things like that. You know, it's our kids' kids. We'll leave them a note and leave them the scroll and let them read it and figure it out for themselves. There's nothing we can do. But see, and as they begin to fall away, they forget about the scrolls. And that's really what happened in Judah. And that's, you know, I mean, when they got back out of captivity, they had to reteach the Jewish people how to keep the commandments, how to do the laws, how to take care of the feast. That's why they had a priest take care of it, to teach them when they came out. And even to this day, the Jews, you know, being scattered, you'll find secular Jews to this day. At any rate, so the Septuagint says of this, comfort ye my people, saith God. O priests, speak to the heart of Jerusalem, comfort her. And of course, the purpose of Isaiah, given by God, is to furnish something to them, to tell them that when you begin to go through this, it's going to be distressful. It's going to be gut-wrenching. It's going to break your heart. But I'm going to take you out of the land. You are going to be taken as captives. You are going to lose everything. You're going to have many of your people killed. They'll be destroyed. Jerusalem will be destroyed. The walls will be taken down. You will have the priests and the prophet. They'll all be gone. And the temple will be gone. And that's really, really distressful. But God does reverse them. God does bring them back. He does give them a new temple. But he does tell them, don't despise the day of small things. Because, see, when they began to build the new temple, it was smaller and wasn't as glorious as the old one. And God said, don't despise that. That's the beginning. That's not everything I can do for you. But see, by the time Yahshua came, that rebuilt temple was destroyed. Matter of fact, 1 million Jews were killed in that one when Rome attacked Jerusalem again. I think it was Titus. And so, the thing I like about this, the whole thing, is that we are finite, but God is infinite. You know, and I remember when Tower and I came to the Lord many years ago. I remember when we sold our first house to go to Bible school so many years ago with our small children. I remember the trails we've been on and everything that we've done. We've come a long ways. We've been on this road for many, many years. But see, God is infinite. And when I got here, it's like God said, welcome, I've been waiting for you. And see, that's what he says to both Tower and I, without us knowing about it. His blessing and his mercy says, welcome. I've already got things ready for you. And so today, while we're facing a lot of issues in America and the world, God is already ahead of us. He's already in control. And although this is distressing and there's things that are going to happen that are going to be more distressing, God is there for us. It's like if you play a ball game. I was a football player. You'd go in and you'd relieve a guy. And then they would bring you out and relieve you. You're tired, you're worn out, you've been giving it your all. And then you have some water thrown on you, a towel given to you, and you're given some electrolytes or something to pump you up a little, and you're ready to go out. See, this is what God does through the Spirit of God. He gives you nourishment. He polishes you up. He comforts your wounds. And see, Isaiah has been given this with God because God knows what he's going to put him through. And this is where we think he was touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That was speaking of Christ. Remember when Christ resurrected Lazarus from the dead? Before he did, the Jews, it gives an account of some Jews talking among themselves. Wasn't this man who was able to do so many miracles able to raise this guy from the dead? You know, keep him from dying is what they said. Well, when he came, you know, before he did the miracle, he wept. The shortest verse, many preachers love this, Jesus wept. That's where he's touched with the feeling of the infirmities of the people. He can sense their emotion. He knows what's in their hearts. He came to die for them so that he could redeem them. He knows who we are. And so he is the resurrection and the life. He told, I think it was Martha, I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, he's going to live again. Yes, he'll live again in the, you know, when the end of days, you know, when everything's over and God is ruling, yeah, he's going to be resurrected. No, you know, none of them got it. None of them saw the resurrection and the life until Lazarus came out. And then they stood amazed, but yet there was some there from the high priest. And what did they do? They wanted to go tell the high priest what they had happened. And the only thing the enemies of the Lord could do, who were Jews, was say, we're going to lose our position. Everybody's going to follow him. He's resurrecting people from the dead. They even thought about killing Lazarus. See, this is the human condition. So God knew, I want to send him a word. I've already told them this is going to happen, but I'm going to send him a word. I'm here on the other end. I'm waiting for you. I will get you through this. I will heal you. I will restore you. See, there's a lot of people that don't understand us that think when Judah was sent into captivity and they lost their land that all the promises ended. No, they didn't. Because God continued what we call the scarlet line of redemption. And it continued even through that captivity. I like Isaiah 40 verse 8. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, we're in Isaiah 41, but it's the same context. The grass withereth, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And remember, Yahshua, he is the Word incarnate. He is everlasting, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And he will stand forever. But the word spoken will never return void. And another one I like, and this is in Hebrews 6. I want to read this one, 17 through 20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now this is all talking about our redemption. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Our hope is Yahshua. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now remember, Jesus was not appointed as a high priest after the flesh, which means he wasn't a Levite. He is after Melchizedek, whose beginning and ending were never known. He is spiritually ordained of God, sent of God, and he is that hope. And it's not the hope just because he came, but he went to the cross. He shed his blood, provided the blood atonement, which in dealing with the blood, when there's blood shed and guilty, you have to have blood that will offset that. And only by the shed blood of the perfect Son of God can that be accepted in the righteousness of God. So you're talking about Jews that are going to go into captivity a long time in the future, and God here is giving them comfort. This is the old covenant. But it's the same God, because he gave us hope and the Jews hope when Yahshua came. And see, God is a God of comfort, a God of healing. But you see, by the time you get all the lies flying around from the devil and from around people that hate God, there's all kinds of things people will believe. But today, I'm telling you that there is comfort. And God has sent comfort to all of his people, not just for Judah, who was going to go into captivity, but for us living today, there is hope. There is comfort. God is here waiting for us. And tomorrow, he's there waiting for you. God is a future God. He is a God of tomorrow. He's a God of the future. He's the God of everlasting. He's the God who creates all things. And he's righteous and holy. So in verse 2, it says, "Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all our sins." In Revelation, it speaks of Jerusalem. The spiritual name is known as Sodom and Egypt. But you see, there is a heavenly Jerusalem. And Jerusalem, even today with the Jews in it, God is going to bring the nations of men around her and judge them there. That's what he says. But you see here, speak comfortably to her, although you received double for all the sins that you did. But by going through this, and remember, the judgments are always redemptive. Now, you may think they're not redemptive. And when my dad used that thick belt on my hind end and told me it hurt him more than it hurt me, I wanted to take the belt and use it on him, see how he felt about it. Now, in my comfortably advanced years, and wisdom has come to my knowledge over that, and I realized that Dad had wisdom. Spare the rod and spoil the child. But too bad we don't know about that today. But see, God is a redemptive God. And as many as he loves, he rebukes and chastens, but he is a redemptive God. And when he sends judgment, it's to bring you closer. You can prove that just by going through the Old Testament and you read how God dealt with the backsliding tribes of Israel. And you watch how Moses dealt with Israel coming out of Egypt. Israel coming out of Egypt is like the Gentiles coming out of the world and becoming a Christian. You know, because we're Gentiles. We're not Jews. We're Gentiles, man. We know what sin is, and we're proud of it. We're totally different. It's hard for us to get adjusted into some of these things. Now, see, over the years, though, see, when Paul first was going through the Roman Empire of paganism and idolatry, and they started seeing the power of God, and these were Jews that were preaching, and they could just jump in there and believe in this Messiah, they jumped at it. God was moving. But see, this is what this verse says. I'm ahead of you. I'm here. There's going to be a judgment, yes. You're going to receive double at the hand of the Lord for your sins. But you're going to make it through. Now make no mistake, there will be those who are wicked that didn't make it through. And I don't want to sugarcoat this. You know, Babylon going in. Of course, when they seen Jeremiah the prophet, they let him go. They knew who he was. So you see, Jerusalem, after Babylon got done with it, is in ruins. No temple, no people of God in blessing. They have judgment for idolatry. And then God says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to pardon your sins. I'm going to restore you. So you go through a term of service like soldiers who endure a sign up. I was in the Navy, and I had some tough times in there. But you're just told to do stuff. You don't have a choice. Judah's being told that they're going to go through hardship and toil, privation, danger, calamity. People are going to die. But see, it's all talking about Jerusalem. So it details where this is going to be Jerusalem. And what they're going through is going to be this double judgment. Now, if you look at Babylon, Mystery Babylon in the New Testament, it's double for her double. That's what it is. And so, I like these verses, folks, because we can find so much truth hidden in here. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff ahead of us. And the thing of it is, we have to realize that God is already there. Already there. He's already been there, set things up. And I think that's important. And the Lord, many times when he's telling us stuff, he says, I tell you these things. He wanted us to know about them. Not to be caught off guard, but to know about them so he wouldn't be offended. So we say, oh, that's what the Lord spoke of. We are in the end days. If you're a Christian and you've read this stuff in the Bible, you know what it's going to be like. You know all the nations are going to be subdued by the beast. You know about the mark of the beast. Good grief. Hang on to that faith. Wake up. Understand where you're at. God's already been here. He told us about it. We got this far. We can get to the end. God can make a way. Good grief. Don't give up the ship. And that's what he's telling the Jews here. Don't give up the ship. I'm still your God. You're still my people. But you're going to go through this. And those that do go through it, I will bring them out. Make no mistake about it. Comfort ye my people. I'll tell you, there's times I've needed comforting. I don't know about you. And I know the Jews needed comforting. And I know even today they have a lot of enemies. Just like America does, or we have enemies just like Israel does. And there are enemies that hate us. But there's a God that loves us, and there's hope. Hope is a four-letter word. And everybody says, well, you have said that four-letter word. Yeah, it's hope. Love. Mercy. Those are four-letter words. Most of the time you hear people talk about four-letter words, they're curse words. Reflecting on that. Well, God is full of four-letter words. And three-letter words like joy. And longer-letter words like redemption. So you need to stand in the right place and know God's already been ahead of you. And for Israel, we're seeing this. We know where Israel is today. She was restored. God was there. He did speak comfortably. They got their temple back. They got Jerusalem back. But speaking of Yahshua and Jerusalem and weeping over it and the Jews that rejected him, that's a whole other ball of wax right there. Father, we thank you for this word today. Bless your people when they hear it, whenever they do. Bless them and touch them, encourage them. In Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. In Jesus' name. Okay, Tower. Now we made two verses. Now, if I continued with that, it'd probably take us another 5 years to get through this. So.
Yes, it would.
But see, the point here, folks, is the message, not how fast we go through the book.
That's right. Amen.
So I enjoyed that chapter.
I did too. It's encouraging. Even though we have to go through stuff, we know who our God is. That he's the true and living God through Jesus Christ, and we have been delivered.
That's right. He's already been through here. He's waiting for us on the other side.
That's right.
He gave us the road map, and when we get done, he'll welcome us. Because our God is a God who cannot lie.
Amen.
Well, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay. Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Whenever you do, it's always a pleasure to have you here. We love you. We pray for you. We truly appreciate all you do for the Lord, and pray for your brethren overseas. Pray for Afghanistan. Pray for the America. May God richly bless you. Good night, everybody.
Don't forget to go by our websites at warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. Until next time. Shalom, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio. Thank you for listening to this episode of Warn Radio.